And as I thought about John the Baptist and this inverse proportion, he must increase, but I must decrease. I thought of that variable drive system. The larger the wheel at the front, at the engine, the faster the machine went. And if we are to be involved in the progress of the church and in the work of the gospel, our work, like John the Baptist, is to increase the honor, the glory of our Savior, and to keep ourselves small. And in that way, the work of the Lord and the work of the Lord's church will go forward.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we're glad to be on the air again to bring you the message of the gospel from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church. Today we're dealing with something that John the Baptist said. He must increase, but I must decrease. And of course, that is a spiritual law that we find throughout the Bible, that the way up with God is down, and the way to have God's favor is to humble ourselves by exalting the Lord. Here in John chapter 3, John the Baptist, we read of him, there arose a question between some of John's disciples and Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth. And all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing, except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness, that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Of course, to the Christian, this is just common sense. Jesus came from heaven, he's above all. We are made of the clay, therefore we are to humble ourselves at Jesus' feet. But in the times when Christ was ministering, these were radical truths, and they were very necessary because of the pride of man. Today we will be preaching this message from the pulpit of our church on Christ must increase. But firstly, let's have a hymn. As with gladness, men of old.
As we
On this Christmas week, we want to wish all our listeners a blessed Christmas season. In this time of year when, yes, it seems that almost everybody around the world is focused on the festive season that we call Christmas, and it is rooted in the greatest event of history, that God became man, took our nature. And upon that is based the whole supernatural life of Christ, is based the supernatural death of Christ, and the supernatural person who is God and man to redeem sinners. It is the mystery of godliness. And I trust that today, that as we turn to this message on John the Baptist, that Christ must increase. May that be true in your life as you live for him.
I didn't get down to preparing and really digging into this message until yesterday. But through the week, I knew this was the text to preach. I knew it was the word for this meeting and felt convinced that this was the right text and to build the message upon that. Now, a preacher's nightmare is to have that conviction all week and then to get down to really preparing it, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't come. Well, there are some things that just fell into place for me, and I really want to share them tonight. John the Baptist's ministry was very brief and very swift. Of John, the Apostle John said that he was a shining and a burning light. About 6 months, he was given to prepare the way of the Lord. And in that time, John gained a very sudden and massive following. Matthew records in chapter 3, verse 5, that then went out unto him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Now, John did not have a media department. He did not have any conventional kind of advertising. It just seems that the Spirit of God moved for people to go, leave their cities, leave their communities, and they went out into this wilderness seeking this man called John the Baptist. And he was already known as anything like a normal man. He was rather irregular. Now, John got straight to it. And this text right up here reminds us tonight of the very substance of John the Baptist's preaching. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, in that short period of time, John performed many baptisms. There were many that appeared to be becoming disciples of John. And so you can understand something of the consternation and indeed some of the resentment that John's followers developed when they heard about this one Jesus, this Lamb of God, that he was baptizing and that he was gaining followers. They looked upon it as some form of competition, but John interpreted rather as success to his own ministry, because that was his work, to prepare the way of the Lord. And the way that John explained this is very simple in verse 29. And he says that whenever the bridegroom is getting married, you don't get upset when you are the best man or the groom's man or the friend of the groom. You don't get upset at the voice of the groom. You are doing your work preparing the way for the marriage and of your friend to be married to his new wife. And your work is to prepare. And so when that groom arrives and all eyes are on him, that's not something to complain about. Rather, that is the very token that your work is being successful, and you can rejoice with that groom. Now, this text that John gave to sum up his estimation of all of this, therefore, is very powerful. And he says, he, Christ, must increase, but I must decrease. And you can see there the law of inverse proportions. We must make much of the Lord, and we must bring ourselves out of view. Now, I don't know where I got this thinking from, but I remember as a boy, my father had a combine harvester. He wasn't a big prairie farmer. We lived in the north of Ireland. It's only a dot on the map. Farms are relatively small. But he had a combine harvester, and it was a model by Class with German engineering. And it had what you would call a variable transmission. There was this little tiny knob lever right in front of the operator of that combine harvester, and it was nothing much more than the size of your finger curved toward you with a little black ball on the end. And all you needed to do to make that machine go faster was to just press it down. If you wanted to slow it up, you just pressed it upward. Now, the mechanics behind it all to make this variable transmission was a flywheel, a pulley on the shaft from the engine. And that pulley or that shaft was a cone shape. And there was a V-belt that fitted inside that pulley, joined, of course, to the shaft, the axle of the wheels or the area of the gears that worked toward the wheels. And so as the hydraulics opened up that cone, the diameter of the pulley got smaller, which meant the machine went slower. But when you pushed it the other way and the cone in the pulley closed up and the V-belt moved toward the edge of the pulley, well, the diameter got much larger. And so that machine would go forward at a more rapid rate. Now, the pulley at the other end, at the axle end, it was small. And the smaller that one is, the higher the rate of speed. And as I thought about John the Baptist and this inverse proportion, he must increase, but I must decrease, I thought of that variable drive system. The larger the wheel at the front, at the engine, the faster the machine went. And if we are to be involved in the progress of the church and in the work of the gospel, our work, like John the Baptist, is to increase the honor, the glory of our Savior, and to keep ourselves small. And in that way, the work of the Lord and the work of the Lord's church will go forward. And so this text has a very vital principle for us. The greater honor we give to the Lord, the better the progress of the church. The smaller we reduce ourselves, the further and the more prosperous the church will continue. Now, taking the word increase and taking that as our theme tonight, I want us to see that we must labor to increase the knowledge of the Lord in this world. That's our work. That's our mission. This world is in need of the message, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We also must labor to increase his kingdom. We must seek the increase of his kingdom and then labor to increase our trust in him as our king. And I think if you look at this text tonight, John 3 verse 30, you will see that this is the very message. This is the substance of this message. We must labor for the increase of the Lord's knowledge. Now, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, John came, we are told, to bear witness of the light. Now, he is very careful, or at least the record of John, that'll be John the Apostle, as he wrote this. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. And you'll see, and that is an uppercase L, that's deity, and that is Christ. John came to bear witness of the light. Now, while John was to spread light, he himself was not that light. He was but the messenger, and his work was to tell the good news and spread the light of the Lord Jesus. And so, John the Baptist was but the messenger. The Lord himself is the message. And we need to get that ingrained into our hearts this evening. Now, we know that John the Baptist came, and he came to make known the prophecies of the Lord Jesus. And it's very likely that in this statement, John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease, that is an insight, a commentary on the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, 7, which says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And so this word increase becomes more vital now. This is a prophecy that of this coming Messiah, this Lord Jesus, the light of the world, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. And of course, that's the work that we as a church are about. And how wonderful, from one little nation, one little tribe, one little town of Bethlehem, there came into this world our Savior, the light of the world. And John the Baptist, 30 years later, when he began his ministry, 6 months before Christ would commence his ministry, began to unfold, point men to the Lord Jesus, the light of the world. And so when you think of prophecies that are fulfilled, think of Bethlehem, think of Judea, think of that land, Israel, of his increase, there shall be no end. We also need to make known his deity, his deity. The reason that all honor is given to the Lord is that he is God the Son. Now, in his next breath, just after this text, John 3:30, that's our text tonight, John 3:30, in the next breath, after saying, he must increase, but I must decrease, you'll notice that he says, he that cometh from above is above all. Why do we give such promotion to the Lord? Why do we give such honor, dignity, and glory to him? Because he's from above. We are just from the earth. We're just creatures. He is the creator. He is the Lord of glory. He's the second person of the Trinity, and therefore to be given all of this honor. And we are to make that known to the nations of the world. There are many people this month who are highly active in Christmas events, but if you were to ask them about the deity of the Lord Jesus, they either wouldn't know, they would object to it, or they would need a lot of explaining that Jesus is not just a little meek and mild infant in a cradle. He's the Lord of glory, and he is divine. He's incarnate God. Incarnate simply means made in flesh.
He is incarnate God, God in the form of man. In this work, and which John the Baptist also did, we are to make the Lord known as sinless. Christ, of course, was conceived sinlessly. He came from the virgin's womb. He was the sinless child. But he lived in this world 33 years without sin. And it is the doctrine of his impeccability. He did not sin. He could not sin. That makes him the Savior that he is. The Savior that you need tonight, if you are a guilty sinner, is not another sinner. You need a sinless Savior. And of that we must publish in a needy world. And I want to say to you tonight, if you have any question, any doubts about the sinlessness of Christ, look at the evidence. He was supernatural. Satan could find no sin in him. Judas, when he betrayed him, could raise no point. And if any man ought to have known the inner life and the secrets of Christ, it would have been Judas, the pretending disciple for 3 years. But even he testified of the innocent blood, the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. And that's the Savior you need. That's the Savior that the world needs. Then we think of his atoning death. And the sinlessness of Christ ties into this, because the lamb of sacrifice was to be the lamb without blemish and without spot. And Peter could say, we are redeemed not by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. So that blood that our Lord Jesus shed on the cross is sacrificial, and it's supernatural blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus, wonder-working power. And as we publish the gospel, it is imperative, it is essential that we give at least a 101 lesson on the sufficiency of the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, atonement means to bring two offending parties to be at one. It is a work of reconciliation. And if guilty man is to be right with a holy God, there needs to be a work of atonement. Now, that's the English word, atonement. Reconciliation is there. In the Bible word, the word atonement means to cover over. Whenever the high priest sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat, which was really just the tabletop of the Ark of the Covenant, when he poured the blood upon that tabletop, he was making atonement. He was covering over, hiding out of view, so that those cherubims that looked down upon the mercy seat, when they saw the blood, they did not see the law. The law was silenced. Sin was no longer guilt. Atonement was made. And as we preach the atoning work of the Lord Jesus, we are to ensure that we make much of his atoning, covering work.
Before Christ.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca or by podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.